Good morning. Hey, y'all. Glad to see you all here that are with us in person and everyone, I'm going to look in this general direction, everyone online joining us. We're really excited you're joining us as well. My name is Bess Forrester. I'm the hospitality director here at River City. I'm really grateful again that you're here with us. It's Father's Day. We're celebrating that this morning together. Josh is out of town this week and Becca is not feeling well and Shannon. So we're going to pray for them this morning. And I'm excited for those of us who are here that we're here together. So if you wouldn't mind standing with me, I'm going to read a passage from Psalms. We read a passage each week from the lectionary, which is basically a portion of scripture that the Universal Church is reading together throughout the year. And so we're going to join in this morning with the body of Christ all over the world. I'll read this and then we'll pray together after that. Psalm 42 says, "As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the thunders of your cataracts. All your waves and your billows have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk about mournfully because the enemy oppresses me? As with a deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me continually, 'Where is your God?' But why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God." So God, we come before you this morning, and I acknowledge that there have been times in my own life where I have asked, God, where are you? Whether the world around me is making me ask that question, or my own life experiences have led me to feel far from you, God. I just want to acknowledge that there have been times where I have felt far from you. And I also want to acknowledge that you have been there all along. That God, if we could zoom out on our lives, that maybe the times where we're saying, "Where are you, God?" if we could only take a step back, we'd see that you were right there behind us, God, walking with us. And as that verse said, as a deer pants for streams of living water, I'm just feeling like a baby deer this morning. We were praying about that earlier, God, that sometimes we feel a little unstable, we feel unsteady, feel like we want to be close to the one who makes us confident and strong. And so God, I just see you as that strong parent beside us this morning, God, coming beside us, comforting us, giving us strength, reminding us, "I'm with you. I've never left you. I'm never going to." So we say to our soul, hope once more in God. He has never left you and he never will. We bless you this morning, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we enter into prayers of the people, God, we just boldly approach your throne of grace. We acknowledge our own need, our desperate, desperate need of you. We need the redeeming power of your blood. We need the victory over death. We need the freedom that comes with life with you. And so we lift up the prayers of the people both in this room and also globally with a confidence that you are indeed faithful. And we remind our flesh, our spirit reminds our flesh that you are indeed faithful. And when our flesh has forgotten, we command our spirit to remind it that you are sovereign and you are good. We pray for the Universal Church, its members, and its mission. We specifically lift up St. Stephen's Episcopal Church in Alabama that experienced a shooting this week. God, would you be near to that community? A community that is experiencing great loss. Would you be with those who were witness to the shooting, God? Would you be with them in their waking and in their sleeping? Would you bring comfort to that community? Would they know that they are not alone? But would you mobilize the churches around them to be your body, to be your hands and your feet, and to remember that we are all under the banner of Jesus Christ? And so would you bring together your body to love that church well? Would you be near to those who are mourning and grieving loss? Would they know your comfort? Lord, have mercy. We pray for the world and all those in it. We continue to pray for the war in Ukraine. As the days get longer and longer, and it feels weary to keep fighting for good, God, would you provide resources to every refugee that has flown and is still trying to flee to safety? Would you provide resources to the surrounding countries that there would be homes, that there would be shelter, that there would be food and water, that there would be churches to welcome them as they begin to navigate what life is now? Would you give wisdom and resources to the government in Ukraine as they keep fighting? Would they know that the world has not moved on? That we are with them and we are for them. And we actively stand and pray against evil and those doing evil. We continue to pray that you would thwart the plans of evil. We, as we just sang, have seen you move mountains. Would you do it again? Would you restore peace where there feels like there is none? Would we see a touch, a glimpse of justice prevail here on earth? God, in your great mercy, would you hear our prayer? We pray for the welfare of Smyrna and Cobb County. Specifically, pray for school districts, for teachers, the ones that are feeling so weary and burned out, in the empty classrooms and the need for more teachers, more people to be willing to say yes, despite so much working against them. Would you just comfort all of the educators who are still grieving not just the pandemic, but the shooting, the uncertainty of what lies ahead for them as they enter back into a classroom in a month. Would you bless them? Would you give them a special grace? Would you strengthen them? Give them an endurance, a rest? Would they know that we are for them and we love them and we are grateful to them for the ways that they love and serve and protect and educate and so many other things? And we pray for the concerns of this local community. We pray for Ken Turner as he recovers from COVID. Would you just protect his body? Would you allow his symptoms to be minimal? Would you allow him to be able to have the procedure that he needs? Would that not be stalled for too long? We just pray that you would be near to him in his room, wherever he is, that he would know that he's not alone. May we surround him and love him tangibly. We thank you for Anna Grace as she is beginning therapy. We thank you that she's home, and we celebrate that, and we just pray for her therapy as she enters the next stage of recovery. Would you give that whole family just an endurance to travel this road well? Give Anna Grace patience with her own body as it works hard to heal. And we pray for every other person in this room who has needs that are going unmet. We pray for the people who feel like they're losing something and it's slipping through their fingers. We pray for those who are being forced to grieve things that they don't want to grieve. The loneliness that we don't always want to voice. The dreams that are not yet. God, would you be the most perfect, loving Father? Would you be the friend that we are longing for? Would you be our advocate when we're needing an advocate? Would you be with us? We bless you and we thank you for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you are going to do. We lift you up high in your rightful place. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
How are we doing? That sounded enthusiastic. Well, I'm glad you're here. I have two things to share with y'all. One is sort of housekeeping. One is more spiritual. The housekeeping is spiritual too, but I'm glad you're here. My name is Bill Pinto. I am on staff here at the church. I wear a number of hats. Most Sundays you see me in that room, or you don't see me because I'm in that room with the sound team. I'm also the pastoral care coordinator here. I lead our care team, which is a group of folks that helps lift up and walk with our folks in our body, whether they're facing a challenge or there's something to be celebrated. I also have responsibilities for administration and finance. But one of my new responsibilities is helping members of our body get plugged into the life of the church through serving. Now, some come into River City, and after deciding this is their church, they want to be here, they step right in some role or another. They know exactly what they want, how they want to share their gifts. Others come to River City feeling burned out from previous church experience or experiences and need more time to rest before stepping into service. Some don't really know what their gifts are or where to plug in or how to plug in or where they could serve. Some need to become healthier before they can step in to something like serving and adding that to their rhythm. And we want to help you with that process. So what would that look like? First off, there's no one way for that to look. I've tried to create a pathway for people. This is something I've been working on since the first of the year. to kind of map it out a little bit in knowing that it is not a step-by-step process because we're all different. But trying to figure out a pathway for people to figure out a place to plug in into one of our ministry areas as a volunteer. And that pathway starts with Bess and the hospitality team, right? So you come to River City for the first time or the first few times, and our greeting team, our hospitality team, our welcome team, they're the ones that meet you and make you feel, hopefully, at home. And we've heard stories, countless stories from folks who experience that. We want you to feel welcome before we ask you to step into anything. We've started a rhythm of monthly welcome lunches to introduce people into River City. That's also along this pathway. So you know a little bit more about our history, our staff, our heart for what God is calling us to do in this community. And those lunches offer us a chance to get to know you a little bit better, to hear your story, right? And that's helpful as we work with you to find a place to serve. In fact, our next welcome lunch is July 10th after service. So mark that on your calendar if you want to attend that. And I'm also available to meet with folks one-on-one to have discussions if you have no idea where you might fit, right? Where you might fit in the various ministry opportunities that we have. And through those conversations, right, we can recommend different ways to look at that. Maybe it's Strength Finders. Maybe it's the APES Spiritual Gifts Assessment. Maybe it's the Enneagram to kind of help you learn where your strengths are, how you're wired, where you might fit in, what might be a good role that fits you. And through those discussions, we can kind of hash that out. You can hash that out for yourself. You may discover through those discussions that you actually might need some counseling to talk about some things that are it getting in the way of you stepping into service. And we can make those referrals for you as well. Our heart is that our people would be healthy and serve out of health and not obligation. We don't want people to burn out. That's why over the years, we've had a number of folks that have come from other church experiences, and the first thing they do is rest, because we want them to be healthy. It requires having a number of volunteers for our ministry so that our current folks remain healthy and don't get burned out. And that's why we want to work with you, to help you find that place where you can step in. Service is an act of worship, and we want everyone to find their place to serve. So if you aren't sure where you might fit, please reach out to me, and we can set up a time to talk and start that process. If you know where you'd like to serve, also reach out to me, and I can plug you in to the various opportunities that are out there that already exist. There are plenty of spaces for people to step in and volunteer. But reach out to me if you want to discuss that further. My email, like many of the emails around here, starts with my first name, bill@rivercitysmyrna.com. All right? That's the housekeeping side of things, with also a spiritual component. But this morning, it's Father's Day, right? We want to wish our fathers in the room a happy Father's Day. Today, like many Hallmark holidays, this can be a hard day for people, depending upon their story, and that's okay. Our personal experiences with our fathers and our mothers are what they are. We didn't get to pick our parents. But I hope what I have to share today about the person of God the Father provides some hope. I am hoping for hope for you. We're going to look at a couple of passages today from Paul, that from letters he wrote to two churches that he cared very deeply about. The passages actually speak about children and sons as much, if not more, than they speak about God the Father. But I hope to show how we can see something about God the Father through what Paul is trying to say about God's children. We're going to start in Galatians 4. You can follow along on the screen. You can open your old school Bibles, small or large print. You can watch. You can read along on your phone, or you can just sit and listen to me because I'm going to read it. Galatians 4, verses 1 to 7. My point is this. Heirs, as long as they are minors, are no better than slaves, though they are the owners of all the property. But they remain under guardians and trustees until the date set by the Father. So with us, while we were minors, we were enslaved to the elemental spirits of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. There is much we can unpack in these seven verses. But I want to start with verse 1. Probably a good place to start. The beginning of the chunk. The word heirs implies a relationship with a parent. In this case, it's Father's Day. Let's say a father. The nature of that relationship is that they have a certain entitlement to what the father has, right? Paul says they are owners of all the property of the father. What the father has, the heirs have. But the heirs don't really know what that property is or what part or parts of the property they have access to until the date set by the father. In ordinary circumstances of a father's will, right, this will that divides up his assets for his heirs, the time set to let the heirs know what that property is may be right after the will is prepared, sometime when the father is gravely ill, or maybe after he dies. But you see how the father sets the time to let the heirs know. Paul goes on to explain, when the fullness of time had come, and the Greek word Paul is using there is chronos, suggesting that after a number of years had passed, God sent his son. So there is something about the incarnation of Jesus that shows us the heirs, right? What the Father is offering us as heirs. What it is we have access to. What we are given by the Father is adoption as his children. Jesus' incarnation makes this possible. Paul writes in these verses we've read, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. But the Father isn't done lavishing things on his children, right? He also sent his Spirit into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. This Spirit that cries, Abba, Father, instills in us the same cry. We too cry, Abba, Father. We too can cry out to God in this intimate way of Abba, Father. What the Father is doing through the incarnation of Jesus and sending the Spirit is helping shift our idea of who God the Father is. That shift is necessary for many, if not most of us. I know for me, when I was a kid, I saw God as the old man in the sky, or like Zeus, right? Something like this, right? Gray beard, gray hair, in the clouds, or this. Also gray hair, gray beards, holding some sort of staff in a orb that I think represents the world. Or this from the 15th century in Germany, right? You see God on a throne, super ornate, up above, not really accessible. But that's the image I had as a kid, right? He was all powerful and demanding of my good behavior. And when we get introduced to the Trinity, right, we let that image, those images of God, be the image of the person of the Father. And we see Jesus and the Spirit as kinder, gentler, more loving figures. And I think Paul is trying to tell us to see that differently, show us how to see that differently. After all, Jesus told the disciples, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. If we want to better understand God the Father, who the God the Father is, we can look to Jesus. The Spirit points us to Jesus, and as Paul says, that Spirit is within us that cries out, Abba, Father. We hear over and over again, Jesus not doing anything the Father doesn't tell him. He's got this close, intimate connection with the Father. Our Spirit cries out, Abba, Father, even sometimes when we can't find the actual words to say. Abba, Father, I need you. Abba, Father, thank you. Abba, Father, where are you? Abba, Father, I feel lost. Abba, Father, look what I did. Aren't you excited for me? Abba, Father, look what I did. I'm so sorry I did that. Abba, Father, I'm confused. Abba, Father, I'm anxious. Abba, Father, I feel bleh. Abba, Father, please help my friend who is hurting. When our perspective shifts on who God the Father is, we can more readily turn to him in our childlikeness and just ask for what we need or what we want. Share our hearts with him without a filter. Right? That's what Josh has been talking about. He talked about a couple weeks ago in the Praying Life message. Right? We can approach God in that intimate way. He's available for us to do that. He wants that interaction. Even after our perspective shifts, or as our perspective is shifting, it might not feel natural to allow ourselves to cry, Abba, Father. George MacDonald, a Scottish theologian and writer in the 1800s, wrote, "The hardest, gladdest thing in the world is to cry, Father, from a full heart. I would help whom I may call thus upon the Father." It's 1800s Scottish language. I apologize for that, but not the heart of what he's saying. It can be incredibly hard to cry out to a Father we don't feel connected to or don't understand. But when we do start to grasp who God the Father truly is, it can be the most life-giving thing we can do. And this is the tension that George MacDonald is talking about there. The hardest, gladdest thing. This Father who sees us as sons and daughters isn't a distant, far-off God. During Advent and Christmas, right, we're reminded of Emmanuel, God with us. This is who the Father is. He is with us. He calls us heirs and adopts us into his family. Now, that adoption carries more than what is given in the sense of material things. Right? We can sometimes get caught up in what are we getting if we do this thing. The United Kingdom just celebrated, right, Queen Elizabeth's 70th Jubilee, commemorating her 70th year on the throne. We're aware, besides the Queen, there's Prince Charles, her son, and Charles and Diana's son, William, as the next two in line to ascend the throne. They are heirs to that kingdom. When they do ascend the throne, they won't, for the first time, be inundated with all that it means to be king. They have been a part of the royal family since their birth, and over time, they have learned what it means to be a part of that family. They have learned what it will mean to be king by watching closely what the queen does. Our being heirs and sons and daughters of God the Father works in a similar fashion. And Paul seems to have understood that. Let's look at another passage from Paul's letter to the Romans. This is from Romans 8. "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." There's that word again, adoption. But here, we're waiting for that adoption. In Galatians, Paul seems to use that term in more of the present tense sense, as a result of Jesus' incarnation. Which is it? What if it's both? And if so, what does that say about God the Father? As I said before, adoption carries with it more than what we're given in material things. Back to the royal family, Charles and or William will get Buckingham Palace. They'll get all the royal residences. They'll get all the material things of Elizabeth's queendom. That is a word. I looked it up. But they will also be expected to carry themselves as she did, in the manner that she did. That is the work that is already ongoing in their lives. They are already learning what it means to carry oneself as a royal. We too, as sons and daughters of God, are heirs and are learning to be heirs. We are sons and daughters and learning to be sons and daughters. The Father would have us love like him, love as he loves. Jesus' incarnation makes this possible. He died to give himself, to raise us with him, to raise us to his heart. We are born from above, born again out of himself and into himself, for he is one and all. As it says in Ephesians 4, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all, including in and through us. Another quote from George MacDonald. His children are not his real... It's coming up. The other George MacDonald quote, right after this slide. In 3, 2... His children are not his real, true sons and daughters until they think like him, feel with him, judge as he judges, are at home with him, and without fear before him, because he and they mean the same thing. They are going after the same thing. Love the same things, seek the same ends. Nothing will satisfy him or do for us but that we be one with our Father. What else could serve? How else should life ever be a good? Because we are the sons of God, we must become the sons of God. See that at the end? Because we are the sons of God, we must become the sons of God. That is what Paul is getting at in his two perspectives on adoption in Galatians and Romans. We are, and we are becoming. This is the work of spiritual formation that we talk about here all the time. All the time. It's hanging over there on the wall. It's hanging over there on the wall. It's everywhere here. Spiritual formation. That's why we talk about it, because we are and we are becoming. This is why at last week's retreat, they spent all that time on discipleship, which is the old term for spiritual formation. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. But that's what we're doing. Because we are heirs and we are learning to be heirs. So what does this both and tell us about God the Father? Good question. Well, I think it tells us that God wants to walk with us in that process of learning to be heirs and learning to become sons and daughters. In the process of loving as he loves. If it's hard for you to reconcile the word father, I get it, right? Because of your personal experiences. But if that's you, maybe interpret that word in a George Costanza kind of way and do the opposite. That is, interpret that word with Scripture and the Spirit leading you as it illustrates it for you by all that you missed in life. The reality is that none of us experienced a father like this. But some of us experienced a father who really wasn't like this. Right? But we are being invited in to see God the Father through this lens if we're willing to take a chance. To hope for what we have not seen or do not see. Remember what John's gospel recounts from Jesus. This is from John 14:9. Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." If you're having a hard time reconciling the word Father, know that what you love about Jesus applies to the Father. The great thing is that the Father is full of patience to give you all the space you need to start to see him in his true light. Take that time. Take that space. Others may not have a hard time, right, with the idea of God the Father. But you may be struggling with the idea of being a son and a daughter and an heir. And that's okay. Again, God the Father is full of patience to give you the space you need to start to see yourself that way, the way that the Father sees you. Paul addresses this reality in that Romans passage we read. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. We who are children, who are heirs, who are sons and daughters, we still groan inwardly because we are in the now and the not yet. The banner in the front of the foyer reminds you that, in Smyrna as in heaven, right? That is our prayer. That's an acknowledgement that we are in the now and the not yet. We have the first fruits of the Spirit, but we still groan in bondage at times. We are sons and daughters who cry, Abba, Father, in those moments. But it takes a long time to finish that process. Just stick with it. You are becoming. It's okay. The Father is with us to walk that journey. There to encourage us. There to carry us at times. There to correct us. All to draw us with his kindness to repentance and dependence on him, to help us see ourselves the way he sees us, to help us see others the way he sees them, and certainly the way to see him in his true light. In Romans, Paul talks as if this adoption is yet to come. In Galatians, he talks as if it is done. The reality is that it has just begun. We are sons and daughters and becoming sons and daughters, the sons and daughters we were created to be. In the words of George MacDonald, we are but getting ready. Hence, we groan on occasion, and other times we feel secure in his arms. But the one we cry Abba, Father to is with us always, joyfully, patiently, and lovingly. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your presence here this morning. I thank you for who you are. I thank you that we're invited into this relationship with you, as much to see ourselves the way you see us as to see you in your true light. Wherever we are on this journey, whether seeing you as Father is challenging or seeing ourselves as heirs is challenging, I pray that we would just be where we are and give that back to you. Trust you with it. Be as open and honest as we can be with you about it. This doesn't feel comfortable. I'm not crazy about that. You know my story, God. How am I supposed to call you that? I can't believe you would call me that. Help us step into that reality that we are sons and daughters, and that we are becoming sons and daughters. I thank you that you patiently wait with us as we walk that journey. Some days briskly, some days sitting by the side of the road. But I thank you that you are present with us, always drawing us closer to you, if we will see it. The things we've been given that aren't truly you, Lord, I pray those would be cast aside. Give us clear eyes to see you as you are.
It's the best time of the service, which is doxology. So if you want to stand up, we're going to ring this one out. Second best after Bill's preaching, actually. So let's write that down.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
And again.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
And amen.
And we sing amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Jordan. Thank you for being here. I pray that you have a good week. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers in the room. If anyone needs prayer, I know this is an awkward spot to do that in, but if you need prayer, come find me. There are people here that will pray with you if you need it. There are ways to plug in this week, right? Food trucks for the ladies on Tuesday night, RCC night, Friday night downstairs. Please join us. Get connected, meet some people. We're glad you're here. Thank you. Thankful for you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you again for joining us today. And please visit our website at rivercitysmyrna.com.